the views really, the feeling of virality, it goes away. You get used to it. Like, it's like just numbers in like a video game after a while. There's plenty of ways that you can go viral, but you got to find the thing that's going to like satisfy your creative drive or whatever, your passion, your the thing that makes you want to create.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. And this is the podcast where we teach you how to grow on social media by talking to people who have actually done it. People like Sean Millay, who has over 670,000 followers on TikTok. And I cannot be more excited to have him here on the podcast today. Sean, welcome to the show.
What's going on? Thanks for having me. I'm excited to help out here.
My pleasure, man. I'm excited to have you here. And where I want to start, I want to get a little background on who Sean is. I have a few kind of beats here of who you are. I want you to kind of correct anything I get wrong or fill in any of the gaps here. So born and raised in Jersey, went to NYU Tisch for film, right? And then on top of film and that being an interest of yours and creating content, video content, you're also a stand-up comedian. You're also into music. And on top of doing your own socials, you do content for 1:37 p.m. And what am I missing here? What of those beats?
Yeah, pretty good. I wasn't expecting you to get it all that easy, but that's pretty accurate. How'd you figure that all out? What's because I don't have a Wikipedia, so you had to dig.
Yeah, I try to do some research before every podcast. So it's just a combination of like a deep scroll on social, listen to some other interviews you've done. I usually search your name up in Google, and I'll go like five pages deep, at least five pages deep, and then every page after that until I've hit a page where I don't find a link that I click on.
Oh, nice. Okay. I hope they didn't show you my wrestling record in any of those pages.
I didn't stumble across your wrestling record, but I must say, like, are you 95?
Six.
96. Okay. So we were in high school around a similar time. And like, as I got deeper into your Instagram, I was like, this is what Instagram felt like when I was in high school. Like, it is like the perfect summary of like an early 2010s Instagram page. I thought it was perfect.
I know. I had to do a deep dive in there. Like, when I started going viral, I was like, let me just make sure there's nothing in here that when I was a kid was like horrendous. And there was some stuff I had to delete, but no, that's cool. And so the last podcast I was on, the guy had watched previous podcasts, and like, I've done a lot of pods now over Zoom that like get like, you know, 50 views. And I'm like, I feel like nobody watches these. But this guy was like, I saw in one pod you said this. I was like, I don't remember saying that. And then like, I had to go back and watch. But yeah, all accurate. I don't think there's much to add there.
You went on TikTok like relatively early compared to like most people our age. Like, I feel like a lot of people got onto TikTok around like pandemic time. You know, everyone was bored. They're looking for something to do. TikTok filled that void. But I'm pretty sure you were on there 2019, right? What led to you getting on TikTok relatively early?
Yeah. I actually got to check. I keep 2020, the pandemic started, right? I wonder, when did the Teletubby thing happen? I think that was 2019, I guess. I was working for this like person that was really mean and sucked. And I was like, it was like sometime after, like I was just like, didn't want to do this. And I had already posted one thing to TikTok that got like 12,000 views. I was like, oh shit, like this is crazy strong. And then it was really Gary Vee that was like, you know, he was promoting the shit out of TikTok. And I was like, oh, he's right. Like, I did get one video with 12K views. And then I got like fired from that job, like for the fifth time. And then I was at home and I was just fucking like messing around with it, posted shit. And like, every once in a while, a video would get like, you know, 10,000 views, and then one got 100,000. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep doing this because, you know, if I do the same thing on Instagram, it's going to get no views. So I just like started doing it there. And it's funny because I was like getting like success with it. And we went to the coffee shop by where I was living. And this chick in the coffee shop, like the barista, overheard me talking to my roommate about it. She was like, aren't you a little young or a little old for TikTok? And I was like, really condescending. And I was like, damn, like, I was like, if people, because that was like, that was the general consensus of TikTok in the early days was like, oh, it's for kids, it's stupid, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, haha, well, you know, we'll see. And then I just kept doing it. And yeah, we're here. But I just got up mostly because of Gary Vee. Like, he kept pushing it, and I was like, all right, let me do it. And then once I saw the views and that they were real people, and then I was like, you know, telling people to do stuff on Instagram, and then there was actually a lot of people doing it. Like, I was like, oh, wow, this is like just tapping into a huge group of people. Like, why would I not do this, you know?
And so how would you describe your content? Because, like, I was trying to figure out how to put into words, like, how I would describe your content. But, like, I feel like what you've done a really good job is you found a way to kind of bring that, like your TikTok content feels like a YouTube video to me, but a YouTube video that's authentic for TikTok. It's like those challenge videos, those, like, ridiculous videos that, like, but that are very well put together. And there's, like, a story arc to them. Like, you've kind of, you're one of the most successful people I've seen that's been able to bring a YouTube mold to TikTok. I don't know if that's kind of how you look at your content, but, like, when I think of, like, an Arak video, like, what does that look like if it was to be a native TikTok? Like, I think your content is that. But, like, how would you describe your TikToks?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it. Like, I just kind of, like, and they're easier than YouTube because they're only a minute. But yeah, I mean, for me, I've noticed, like, just telling stories is, like, the easiest way to go viral, you know. And people, like, mystify the word viral, like, you know, they think of it as, like, some, like, I can't even say for certain I've gone viral. Like viral to me is, like, you remember Dogface, the guy that was eating or drinking cranberry juice on a skateboard? Like, that's viral, where it's like everybody in America knew what that was and is, like, parodying it. But, like, as far as TikTok and views go, like, if you're just making something interesting, like, it's gonna get views, because, like, people see 1,000 TikToks a day because they're only a minute long. Like, it's not that hard to get yours in there somewhere. So I would describe it as, like, well, I started with whatever made me laugh or I was having fun. So, like, if you go back to, like, the early TikToks, it's like, I'm gonna prove ghosts are real, and I'm like, you know, close your eyes, and all right, now I'm speaking to the ghosts in the room, but, like, make sure your eyes are closed. And the text on the screen is like, you're an idiot, ghosts aren't real. Like, because that made me laugh, right? And then, so that was, it was a lot of just, like, yelling at my phone. But then I was like, I would realize, like, you know, like, I wrote to a prisoner, and I was like, well, if I just edit it in a way that is a minute long, and it's hard to pack a story into a minute, but that just, it really comes down to, like, what can you remove? Like, you really need to, like, make sure it's you know, nothing is there that doesn't need to be there. So it's like just telling a story as quickly as possible. And I guess that's why it feels like YouTube-esque, because YouTube videos are just, like, long stories. And they're like, you know, I went to the greatest part of the mountain and we climbed. And it's like, you know, 4 minutes or even 10 minutes. And so I guess the why it feels native to TikTok, A, I'm filming on my phone and I know it's going to go on TikTok. And B, like, I am just shaving everything that you don't need. Like, any of the best YouTube videos, well, maybe not Mr. Beast videos, but, like, vlog style stuff, like, it's just, like, a lot of it could be told in a minute. And so I guess that's why, too. Like, it's weird. I'm still figuring it out. But and it's also less of a headache. Like, if I had to, like, start doing YouTube consistently, like, it's like, damn, like, a 10-minute video, that's 10 TikToks. That's 10 TikToks, you know, like, so I think that, I don't know if this is answering your question, but it's just easy and it's shorter and it's easier to digest and telling stories. That's like my answer to your question there.
And so why, kind of like more of a big picture question, like, why do you create in general? Like, not specifically why you create TikToks, but, like, you've always had this, from what I can tell, you know, you wrote some raps in high school, you went to school for film, like, creativity has always been something that you've had within you. So, like, why do you create?
I don't know. It's like, it's just fun. It's like, there's, like, nothing more fun than making stuff to me, you know, just something in me makes me, like, want to do it. Hope to, knock on wood, I love doing it. So I hope to keep always having that drive, but it's just, like, a good feeling when you make something. It's like, oh, this is my thing that I made. Like, it's like a satisfying feeling.
I get that. Sometimes I have to put that. That's a tougher question, like, really put into words sometimes, but I like to throw it out there sometimes just to see why or what people come up with.
I, like, was scrolling through YouTube shorts and, like, once in a while it'll throw, like, it was like a Jordan Peterson video. I didn't even watch the whole thing, but the first sentence is like, creative people need to create or they'll shrivel up and die. And then I like scrolled past it, but I was like, yeah, I mean, I feel like that sometimes. And then I don't know what the rest was, but I feel that way about just like creating stuff. Like if I have to like do like advertisements or something like freelance shit to make money on the side, like that is never as fun as just like doing something or like making some creative thing that I really want to make for myself.
And so what's that line then, or the balance there with creating for 1:37 PM and also creating for yourself? Like I found like, I love creating, but as soon as it's like, I got to create for someone else, like that fire just gets extinguished very quickly. And so like, how do you balance creating for yourself, but also creating for 1:37 PM? I know you have a lot of freedom with that, but like still, how do you kind of walk that line?
Like some things, I have like a really cool relationship with everybody there. And like, so like sometimes they let me make pretty much anything, like, but I'll still like, you know, there's days where I don't know what to make. So I'll like do something like, for example, like, I was up at 2 AM like the day before work watching YouTube, and it was like a Howard Stern video where he's like on the radio and somebody calls in and like, is like, oh, I'm going to jump off this bridge. Like I'm tired of life, and Howard's messing around with them. But then all the people on the bridge are like honking their horns, and like, they're like, people are stopping and they're like listening to the Howard Stern show. Like, no, he's really here. He's going to do it. And it didn't have that many views on YouTube, and it was just one long video. And so I was like, shit, like this is a cool TikTok. So I'll just like literally tell, like I'll share it in the sense I'll be like, guys, check this out. This story is crazy. And then I'll like show a little bit of it, and then I'll like walk people through it, and I'm telling them how I perceived it. And so they're perceiving it that way. So like, that's something I wouldn't want to make for my page, but it's really fun to do for their page. And like, you know, like curate content for like TikTok and have it be my voice that's sharing it. So that's like kind of how I balance it, because it's still satisfying. But then also they let me make like yesterday I went to, an open mic in the park, and I filmed it, and I'm like going to make a TikTok out of it. And it's like no other comedian, aspiring comedian that I'm coming up with, it has a job that's like, yeah, go fucking do stand up and make content out of it. So it is like, it's a great job for sure. Like, and so the balance there is pretty, it's pretty good, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And then also like, it reminds me too, there's this like John Lennon quote about like, I guess, he was trying to write a song. Like I said, he would get hired to write music sometimes, but he was saying like, you know, it's much harder to like write a song about lemons for a lemon company, because he's better at like, or he was better at like, you know, whatever, like he felt in the moment, it would just like come through. Like it was just like fell into him through this, you know, through God or whatever, through the sky or intuition. And I think that is true as well. So I do think there's like, you know, that's the little bit of difficulty where like, I'd rather be doing stuff that it's just like I'm inspired by, but even so, like I can still do stuff I'm inspired by for like the Howard Stern thing. I was genuinely like, this is awesome. Nobody was like, go make a Howard Stern video. Cause if they did, I'd say, yeah, I don't really want to do that. And then I would ignore them for the rest of the day, and then they'd be fine with it because that they know that that's not how I operate.
And so kind of with that in mind then, because you kind of like, for the most part, have a pretty like blank canvas to work with. But I feel like constraints often can sometimes help with creativity. You know what I mean? Like if you're just create anything, like that's almost too daunting, but it's like create with these one or two parameters, and then you have a blank slate beyond that, then like I have something to kind of bounce off of. So what do you kind of use as constraints for your creativity?
Good question. Well, prompts are sometimes fun, but I don't really, for me, it's like whatever, like I just write everything down in like a Google Drive. And so like I have a stand-up folder where I'll just like go through and I'll write down like yesterday, Ubered a girl to my place, and she was like, she got here, and I have a bell downstairs, and she was like, oh, I'll be up in a second. And I was like, oh, maybe she can't figure it out. So I like press the key and it lets me look into the lobby. And she's on the phone there, like with like a guy. And he's like, I just hear her like, should I leave? Like I could make up something. And I'm like, I was like, this is hilarious. Like, this is so, and I'm literally, while she's down there talking to a guy on the phone, I write it down, like, whether this is a TikTok, whether this is a stand-up idea, whether, so basically, for me, it's like always writing down stuff. And that kind of gives me like the prompt or the parameters. That's one way. I guess the other way would be like, you know, honestly, that's really all it is. It's like I said, the Howard Stern thing, I was in bed at 2 a.m. I'm like, this is really interesting. And again, TikTok, what I tell people with going viral is like, if you think it's interesting, or if you would tell your friend about it, instead of telling your friend, like, tell TikTok. And most of the time, like, you know, if you have, like, if you're able to, like, stop people in a room, like, to talk to them, like, if I'm at a party and I'm talking to somebody and I'm able to maintain their interest, then you're going to be able to translate that to TikTok. Maybe it'll be a little weird at first, but you'll be able to, like, you know, once you're comfortable, you'll be able to get people to watch your videos. And so that's why I say people like really deep, like they mystify like virality and TikTok, like, oh my God, I'm going to get views. Like, I'm like, dude, it's not that hard. Like, it's like, just be interesting. Like, it's just creating a connection with somebody through the phone.
So how do you balance then? Cause like with creating stuff that's interesting to you to try and that you think will be interesting for other people, but you also talked like with that Howard Stern video, you said that was something really interesting to you and it kind of captivated you with that idea, but you also knew it wasn't something that would fit with your TikTok, saying posting it on the 1:37 PM one. So what's your kind of like the benchmark, the rules you have in place for like the filter for what you can post on your own account? That's like, what are the other criteria beyond being interesting that you need in a video or an idea for you to post it on your page?
It used to be anything. Like, I'm sure, like, maybe if I never got this job, I would have done Howard Stern stuff or whatever, but like, or like, you know, videos that were just maybe sharing things I like. But I think it's like, for me, it's like, if it's funny, like, that's what I'm trying to post there. Funny or like clever or interesting is what I'm trying to post there. Because, or like telling an interesting story that I've like fabricated on my own. Which, you know, it used to just be more, what sucks is once you do get a following, at least for me, it became a lot harder to post shit. Because like, one, I don't want to post like, you know, videos that bomb and then people go to my page and they're like, oh, the last few videos, like I want them to see the good stuff only. And two, like when I first started TikTok, like if you go to the first videos I have, it's like me in my apartment, my roommates aren't home, and I'm like, guys, you need to go do this. Like I was drunk and I was like, I'm from the future. You can't let Groundhog see a shadow in 2 weeks. The world, like, it's going to be really bad if he does. And that was me drunk at home, fucking around on TikTok, posted it, it got views. But like now, I would be nervous to do something like that because it's guaranteed going to get views. It's going to get like 2,000 views in, you know, 10 minutes. And so there's less room to experiment. So now it's just like, I need to have more confidence in it, like for me to post it to my own page. That's how I feel.
When you say you want people to see the good stuff when they land on your page, you're talking about views, right?
Yes. I guess that's like, you know, it's like the negative, like, you know, the Gary V way would be like, fuck them. Like, who cares? And also like, and like, also that doesn't mean it's bad just because it didn't get views. But yes, that's what I mean. Like the views is a nice validator that it is good. And so I like to just have it be like the beefy stuff, the stuff that like, yeah, it does well. And you know, that's not like, this is a podcast about how to do well on social media. Like, I'm not saying this is the right way to do it. I'm just saying this is what I struggle with now that I do have a following.
No, that's totally fair. Cause I was going to ask, like, what I often ask is, how do you follow up a viral video? Like once that first video or that second video goes viral, like you're putting expectation on yourself right now, but when that first video pops off, are you trying to figure out how to like follow that up and what to do next? And I'm curious because you know, It's Wednesday, My Dudes, Vine?
Yes.
So I had him on here a couple weeks ago and he said back in when that was like 2016, when that went viral, like there was no expectation. It was just like, oh, this is a cool thing that's happening. Like, look at my Vine getting all these views. But it wasn't like today where when someone goes viral, they expect money to follow success and all these things. So I'm curious, when you're first, or when you find like some like pretty solid view count video, like maybe your first million view video, what's going through your mind in that moment? Like, do I have to follow this up? Am I stuck to this format now? Like, what's, how do you
handle that? It's funny because you go to like somebody's page and like you'll see a video that goes mega viral, and that's like, it's like the rest of their page. Like, it was some guy in a peephole that I saw the other day that I thought was hilarious. It was on Twitter, and it was him talking to somebody through a peephole. It was just a funny angle, like. And then I was like, oh, I gotta go see what else this guy does. And it was all peephole videos. And I was like, I don't want to watch more of these. Like, I just wanted to see what else he could come up with, you know? And so, like, I don't like being pigeonholed. Like, I did the Write a Prisoner series, and then like people were commenting like, where's the prisoner? And that was like getting like frustrating because I'm trying to do comedy videos. And then I did the video where I saved a chicken from a slaughterhouse, and now tons of video. Not tons of comments, but every once in a while I get a comment like, we're six piece. And I'm like, dude. And so what I tell people too is like, if you're going to make videos, like, make sure it's something you want to do. Like don't like, cause if you get 100,000 followers teaching how to like, you know, fillet salmon, you're not going to be able to make a video doing stand up. I mean, you could, but people are gonna be like, what the hell is this? Like, this isn't why I subscribed. So for me, it's like, just keep experimenting and having fun. Like, I did like my first viral one was like me telling people to guess Justin Bieber's password. And then the next one is like, I'm just always trying to have fun with it. And I would say like, if it's like something that you could like keep doing, like, don't like, just know when you make the video that you're cool with doing that over and over again, or you're cool with people wanting it and you not giving it to them and knowing when to cut it. Like, I did the Teletubby thing, which is like where I had people tag celebrities as a Teletubby, or me in a Teletubby costume. And like, for a while there, people were like, who are we doing next? Like, they were like, come on. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to be this guy for that. Like, it was funny for a little while, but if I keep riding this, like, it's going to be like corny as hell if you didn't already think it was corny, you know? So to me, it's just like, do what's true to you and make sure you're having fun doing it, and don't do it just because it's getting you views.
Do you think mixing up the content, like not sticking with one theme, like doing the Teletubby video, rinse and repeating that over and over and over again, like, do you think that, while more satisfying creatively, do you think that not stunts your growth? Because obviously you're sitting at 671,000 followers, but like, do you think you could be bigger if you just milked a series that really popped?
Possibly, yeah, for sure. But I just wouldn't want to be the Teletubby guy, you know? Like, I wouldn't want to be Damn Daniel. I mean, Damn Daniel, like, he didn't have creative aspirations. So I'm not saying that, you know, it's bad being him, but like, I don't want to be just that, you know? And so, like, I'd rather, like, if I milk that for all my, and, you know, I could win them over and then turn them, like, you know, Chunky's Dead?
No.
She did like something similar where she started a cult purposefully on TikTok, but she did get like a million to, maybe she's at even like 3 million now, but she did transition into comedy videos. So, you know, I'm sure I could have milked it, but I was also like not enjoying it like towards the end, because like the celebrities would be pissed, or not the celebrities, fans would be pissed, or I was worried the celebrities were pissed. Or I was seeing comments like, this is cringe, this is corny, and like, which, you know, shouldn't bother me. But after a while, I was starting to feel that way, you know, like I was like, yeah, this is getting lame. So like, it just wasn't worth the followers to me. Like, that's the thing, people, like, the views, really, the feeling of virality, it goes away. You get used to it. Like, it's like just numbers in like a video game after a while. But like the feeling of like, especially if it's like something you don't really care, like if it's not like, like, for example, the stand-up clip I posted most recently went really viral, and for those first 2 days it feels great. It's like, oh, this, people are really enjoying this thing I wrote, it's stand-up, that's amazing, I'm so proud, it's so awesome. But now I'll get notifications on the same video, people are like, haha, this is awesome, and it's not the same feeling as it was for the first 2 days. So like, basically, you know, it's like the feeling is like, oh shit, what's next? Can I do it again? Can I get another stand-up clip to do this? Like, so like, basically, I'm just saying, like, yeah, like, it's, you lose the passion, or you lose the feeling it was in the beginning. And so, like, I'm the type to just want to keep doing more stuff, because I have all this fun stuff I want to try and be funny about all these different things. So if I just have a following of a million people that are like, yeah, let's tag more people, I'm like, that's not what I am. Like, maybe I could win them with my personality, but I'm not going to have a good personality if I'm unhappy doing it. I'm going to be more like, all right, guys. They're going to be like, this guy sucks, you know?
No, 100%. There's a couple things too that I want to just reiterate and make sure the person listening to this like really takes these in, is that one, that like the views are cool, but like only until they aren't, you know what I mean? Like they're cool very temporarily. And then, like you said, you kind of get used to it. But two is that the views aren't what satisfy you. You know what I mean? Like as a creator, like you're, if you're creating, the number on the screen doesn't make it more enjoyable to film your video. So you need to make sure you're making enjoyable content you enjoy creating, that to sustain yourself and fulfill yourself as a creator. Because if you're just creating for the views, we know this, but you're going to burn out eventually.
And I mean, anybody could go take a shit on the Statue of Liberty and go mega viral. But like, do you really want to be the guy that took a shit on the Statue of Liberty? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's plenty of ways that you can go viral, but you got to find the thing that's going to like satisfy your creative, you know, drive or whatever, your passion, the thing that makes you want to create. Like, it's like that kid that like, Trevor Jacobs, is it, that like crashed an airplane probably on purpose. Like it went mega viral, but everybody's hating him. Like, dude, fuck you, killed somebody. And part of it too is like, you start to realize, like, you know, YouTube was giving me like $1,000 a month when my videos were doing good. Now they kind of like cut it in, I think, in half. I don't even know. But basically, I was like, shit, like there was a month there where I had no video views and I didn't get any money. And so it's not even always about the views, then it's about the money. Now you're like, oh shit, like I was actually affording rent pretty easily and now I'm not. And then you end up crashing a plane because you need fucking money. It's like a whole, yeah. And then it's sad too, going into the videos that went viral and seeing all the comments there that are like from a year ago. It's like going to Times Square, like after the apocalypse, being like, wow, this place used to be so like, you know, bumping and people were here. And now it's like just a memory of where people used to be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people today, like, they're so focused on just being known, they forget to think about what they want to be known for. And they'll do anything just to be known without considering the repercussions of that.
Yes, for sure. Like, you'll see it too. Like, people like, oh, like on TikTok, like, this guy said this to me today. And then like, people are like, oh my God, like, slay queen, like, let's go do this to him. And then they're like, you know, now their whole TikTok is them just doxing people because they found their niche in that. And I'm like, do you really just want to be the person that like is, I don't know, like, it's just like, I'll see that all the time where it's like, just like people like found one thing that went viral and now they're like becoming a skeleton of themselves because they realize that it gets views. And it's like, all right, like, it's why Oprah, you know, used to mediate midget arguments well in her career, or little people, whatever I'm supposed to say. Like, it's because that's what got views in the beginning. Like, but then she transitioned out of that and became like, yeah. So I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's very weird. It's a weird world we live in, and I'm trying to figure it out. But I hope that this can at least inspire people to know, like, you know, like, be yourself. And that's the best thing. When you get views, being yourself and like talking about things that interest you, that's where you're going to find the most, what's the word? Like, empowerment, fulfillment's the word. Yes. Because like, again, nobody wants to be the guy that takes a poop on America's great landmarks for views.
And I think too, like, in 2022, going viral, like you kind of alluded to it earlier, isn't the same as what it used to be. Like when you went viral in 2015, 2016, the internet just felt smaller and everybody would know you. Like, there are some like marquee memes, like again, I mentioned the "It's Wednesday, my dudes" guy. Like everybody knows that. The what is it, stalker girlfriend meme or whatever, overly attached girlfriend. Everyone knows that. Like when you went viral back in the day, like everyone knew you. But now everybody's going viral, so it doesn't matter. Like I'll see 100 viral videos in a day now, and I don't remember any of them because they like because it's just another one of those viral videos. Versus like viral videos used to be rare, but now they're so commonplace. It's not like a career maker like it used to be.
Right, and it's like TikTok. Well, I mean, Vine was 6 seconds, so I'm not sure what the. Because my theory was like, you know, TikTok's a minute, so it's like you could get, like you said, like 1,000 viral TikToks a day. Like, I've only been recognized on the street twice, and that was in like the past 3 years, and I've gotten like, I don't even know, probably close to like 100 million views or more now. But then again, like a lot of the videos, like I'm not always like featured, like my face in it big. Like, my friend Rose, she's Long Island Dirt on TikTok. She gets recognized often, but she's like the star of her TikTok. So I'm not really sure. And I also think people need to see your face like a certain amount of times before they're like, okay, now I know this guy, you know? But yeah, it's like you said, it's definitely not the same.
No. But speaking of, so like, I know we talk about like views get boring over time, but you just said like you've gotten over 100 million views. Do you ever stop and just think about that number? Like,
yeah, I try to appreciate that. I think it's really cool. I also think like, and I'll be like, oh, I wonder if anybody like celebs that I like have seen it and I hope they liked it, you know, or like, but at the same time, like there's this cool quote from comedians in the car and cars getting coffee. Well, Jerry was quoting somebody else, but he said like there was a comedian that was like, he was performing in front of like 50,000 people or just a crazy number. And Jerry asked him like, oh, is that terrifying? And he was like, it's kind of like swimming. It's like, it doesn't matter if it's 6 feet or 1,000 feet of water, you know, if you can't stand, it's the same exact thing. And so I kind of feel that way about views now too, where it's like, if 10 people have seen it, it doesn't, it's like, it's just, I don't know. It's hard to, not to minimize the coolness of what it is, because it is cool. And I do very much appreciate it. And I think it's awesome. And I'm hoping to continue to have that. But it does become, especially because it's not in person, it becomes like a video. It feels like GTA money. It's like, that's what it feels like sometimes.
And what's your, like, your posting schedule? Because I feel like you have a very uncommon posting schedule for someone with a decent sized following on TikTok. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you post sporadically, not like every day. Like, I feel like every time I talk to someone who creates TikTok on here, it's like, yeah, every day you got to post every day, but you're doing the reverse.
Yeah. I just post when I have something I like, or like I'm proud of. That's how I feel about it. Like I do understand that every day, like if I was to start a TikTok today, I would do it every day. I would do it multiple times a day. Because you got to see what works, you got to get shit like, and then I wouldn't have followers, so I don't have people to disappoint, you know, like, so, and I'm not saying that having a following means you have to do what I'm doing, but that's just how I'm running it, and I'm like fine with that. But a schedule's good. I just like, I'd rather not post shitty things to satisfy, you know, a quota, and so I post when I'm. Have something I'm proud of. But again, if you're starting out, post every day. Like, don't let me discourage or give you an excuse not to work at what you're doing. Like, I have the benefit of a following at this point where I'm like, okay, could it be way bigger if I was posting every day? Probably. But I also, my job is making TikTok. So I do post every day, but on my job's page. It's a weird little dichotomy.
And you mentioned earlier how, like, sometimes you'll just let life kind of be the inspiration for your content, for your art, really, whether that be stand up, whether that be TikTok. Is there like a more formal creative process than that, or like ideation process, I'd say? Like, are you ever sitting down just kind of writing out as many of these as you can and picking the best ones? Like, is there a certain time of day, or is it kind of like whenever inspiration hits you?
It used to be that way, but I kind of have like a backlog of things that I kind of want to make now. So like, it's just been that, or it's just been getting better at stand up. And then, because now I'm finding like for me, like, so the two stand-up clips that went viral were like my aunt died. And so there was this whole thing on Facebook that happened where like the dead aunt's Facebook got hacked. So I Photoshopped all the Facebook image. Like, I lied about all that, but I Photoshopped all these like Facebook convos. And then the second one was me catfishing people on Tinder. Was a stand-up clip, and I could use like I fabricated that by like making a Tinder and screen recording it. And so like I'm kind of seeing like, oh, if I make jokes about internet stuff, that does well. So I have like a list of things that I could do with that. But basically it used to be that though. It used to be, and some days it could still be that, but it was just like TikToks. What could I make a TikTok about? Or something like that. I also like stories. Like, that's what I find do best too, is like if you're telling a story. So, or like, you know, so like whether it was writing a prisoner or like I put my dog on Tinder or my aunt's Facebook got hacked, like I'm telling you a story. And so that also, if I have like a nugget of an idea, like, you know, Ubering a girl to my place and she gets like called away by her ex-boyfriend in the lobby, like I'm like, okay, how can I turn that into a story? Like, or let me see. I can't read any of this because it's all horrendous, but ding dong ditching, like, you know, if I were to ding dong ditch, I'm like, oh, what would happen if this happened? And then I'm like, okay, now I could see if it was a TikTok. So that's kind of how I do it, is like finding the story and stuff.
And I have a quote here. It's not a direct quote, but this is from one of those podcasts that you did previously. And this is like, this isn't verbatim, but this is like the essence, is that anything could be a TikTok moment if it's edited correctly. And so how should you be editing a TikTok?
I said that somewhat wrong in the sense that I almost feel that every conversation could have a TikTok in it, or like, so like from this podcast, there might be a tick if you edited it correctly. Yeah, it could be. And so what does that mean? It means like a strong hook. So the first sentence we hear has to be interesting. It's like writing an essay in high school. They're like, you need to have a strong hook, you need to have a thesis statement, and you need to back it up. Like, that's so true about TikTok. Like, it's like a strong hook. So it would be like, you know, I'm just going to, like, a bad example would be like you saying, everything could be a TikTok moment. Is that true? Right? Like, it's not a great hook, but just for the sake of this, I'm going to use that. And then it would be like, you know, a couple sentences of me describing it, but not the whole thing. Just like, you got to only use the best stuff. And in this scenario, the thesis is also the hook, right? So like, but then there's also like, I posted one yesterday. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll put text over the video, right, in the first few frames. That could be your opening sentence. That's a hook. So like, for my aunt dying, it's like, oh, this is horrible. And then the thing I'm saying is my aunt died recently. And my guess is if A, I'm on stage, B, the text says this is horrible, but it's got a laughing emoji. And then the sentence I'm saying is my aunt died. You're like, all right, let me see what's going to happen. And then everything after that is like only things you need. So like no superfluous sentences or anything like that. Just like everything you need for the story, and then ending it, you know, when it needs to be ended. And then like what I like subtitles, and I'll add like, you know, little images to like accentuate some of the things that are being said. That's really all it needs. Like, and edit it in a way that's interesting, try and keep people's attention. That's the way to edit them. Also, like, you know who Mr. Ballin is on YouTube?
It sounds familiar, but it's like vague. I don't know like him well.
He's awesome. He does like true crime stories, but he's just literally talking to his phone in front of a green screen, telling a story about somebody's like gruesome murder. And it's like, but he's a good person to look at, like in the sense that like he doesn't tell you anything you don't need to know. And I feel like that's the case with TikTok, for me at least. Like somebody, a friend of mine did a stand-up clip recently, and it was 3 minutes, and it got a million likes on TikTok. And I was like, dude, like if you showed me that before you posted it, I would have told you to remove a bunch of stuff. So like, you know, what works for me is not going to work for everybody. But what Gary always says, okay, I'm like kind of going all over the place here, but Gary Vee also introduced me to something, which is macro content versus micro content. Like, this podcast is your macro content. Your TikTok moment is one little 15 to 30 second thing in here. And so Gary does that all the time. He like interviewed Logic. It's a 20 minute video, and Logic solves a Rubik's Cube real fast. And then Gary's like, that's awesome. It got super viral on TikTok because it was that one little moment edited properly that did well from a 20 minute podcast. The podcast probably had like, I would say like 20K views. And then the Logic moment of the Rubik's Cube had like 20 million. So basically it's just knowing what is a TikTok moment. Like, and that's not even what's interesting. What's a viral thing? What's something that people are like, whoa, that was cool. Logic solving a Rubik's Cube is really interesting. You know, like, what I could just see it in my head. Like, if I have a conversation with somebody for 10 minutes, like, I could just kind of like replay it in my mind and be like, what was the highlights? Like, this part here was pretty interesting. This was kind of funny. And then you take that, you bring it into your timeline in Premiere, you freaking edit it up, and you're like, all right, there's a TikTok. That's my experience, at least.
And do you find that, like, that TikTok flow, that structure for the video, do you find that in the edit? Or because I know, like, you don't fully script your videos, right? You kind of, like, put out the beats of what you want to hit, and then do you kind of find, like, really find it in the edit, or what's that look like?
It depends. So for most of them, actually, like, there was like a Beeple video where I stole like art from him. And so what I do is I take all the clips on my phone. I have like a general idea of what I want to do in my head. Sometimes I'll write like verbatim sentences in my notes if I think it's like a perfect wording or funny. But for the most part, I film everything. I put it in Premiere, and then I edit everything together in Premiere. And then I chop away, and then I see the story, and then I take my phone. I open up Voice Memo, I record voiceover, and then I airdrop it to my computer and I start dropping it into the footage that I've already edited. So the script comes last, and I don't write anything. I just kind of like, I say it off the top of my head. I'm like, you know, so I went to this place and it was pretty cool. And then I'm like, and I'm watching the clip, and you know, this happened and I thought that was pretty cool, or, you know, and then I'm like, and then I airdrop it. And then I like put it all together and I'm like, oh, I don't like the way I said that. I'll re-record that. But nothing is written.
Nothing. So it's all just kind of like off the dome in the moment, what feels right. And like, you kind of talk about like how important the hook is. So have you just done it enough now where you kind of know what makes a good hook in the moment, so you don't really have to think about it when you're recording?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like being a salesman, I'd say. Like, it's just like, it's like getting somebody's attention. Like, it's like the hook kind of comes pretty easy to me. Knock on wood again, like, but it's like, it's just like, how do I, like, give me an idea. Like, the one that went pretty viral is like, we picked up an Amish guy. It was our friend acting, but we pick up an Amish guy and we like break Amish with him. And I'm like, what's the most engaging hook? And it's like, it's obvious to me. It's like, we picked up an Amish guy. Like, you don't need to like add any fancy stuff on there. Like, this piano is sick. Like, that one's not even that great. Like, saving a chicken from a slaughterhouse. Half the time, the video idea, if it's a genuinely good premise, like, the premise should be the hook. It's like, oh, I want to see that, you know? Like, and that's what Mr. Beast does. Like, his hook is just what the video is. He's just like, you know, I bought an island and I did this. And I'm like, okay, let's see, you know? Like, And he also says something cool, which is like the title of the video. You know, sometimes you don't even need to say what the video is going to be because they read the title. They clicked it. They know what it's going to be. So, yeah, it's just like selling something to somebody or like getting their attention. Like, you know, if you start the video like, what's up, guys? Because a lot of people do this. Hey, guys. So today I think I thought it'd be really cool if we we went to the park, and I'm like, dude, yo, today we went to the park and we asked people 5 questions real quick. It's like, all right, let's see, you know? Or then that was a bad example because you don't even need to do that. If you're going to the park and asking funny questions, just start at the question in the park, like, and then have TikTok text that says, we ask people funny things in the park. Like, so now we're seeing both things simultaneously. We could read what it is and we could see the question all at once. We don't have to wait for anything. So basically, it's just you've got to just think, what is the quickest way to get people's attention? And sometimes it's like, my friend said this the other day, it's like, it's just, you got to shake them. Like, you got to shake them awake and be like, hey, look at this. And so that's what it feels like sometimes.
There's a couple things in there. One, I like you mentioned this about using text as part of the hook and not necessarily just being subtitles for that first second or two there, like as just giving extra context as to why you should watch that video, not just a straight subtitle. I think that's interesting. Two, I think it's funny that you're talking about just kind of really just eliminating the hook altogether, just getting straight into what the video is about. I interviewed a guy named Coach Stone who like teach people how to grow on TikTok, and that's what he started doing. He's like, I've stopped doing hooks. I just get right into the video, like gold first is what he says. Like, who cares about your hook? Just start showing them what you need to show them. And the other thing you said with Mr. Beast there, well, he'll just basically tell you what his video idea is as his hook. That's one thing I've heard him say in the past is like, the best way to make better videos is to get better ideas for your videos. Like if you have a better idea, like that will translate in your video and that will make it better instantly.
Right. Yeah, I totally. And the TikTok text is a nice way to be like, if you're like to just say like, hey, if you're falling behind here, this is what's happening, you know, like so it's like a safety net or whatever. But yeah, exactly, nobody needs to hear you say, hey guys, so today we're gonna do this. And I get the instinct to want to do that, but you just lose, because people scroll on TikTok. This is how people scroll. They're like, if there's TikTok text though, I will read it. I'll be like, let's see. Nah. So You gotta win them over right away. But be truthful, you know, be genuine. I'm not saying like lie or anything like that, but just learn how to package your product in a way that is easily digestible and quickly digestible.
Do you have like a review process of your content at all, where you try to like figure out why a video worked, why it didn't work? Like, do you set time aside to go through everything and figure that out? Or is it kind of just more like a gut thing?
I it's weird. I kind of just like, if it does goes viral, I'm like, yep, that's right. And then if it doesn't work, I'm like, I should have known. But like, I don't really go over it or anything. I'm just kind of like, damn it. Fuck. All right, moving on. Like, so. Like I'll understand later maybe, or like I'll be like with the, I did one with Baron Ryan. But the weird thing is too, like let's say I'll make a video, it bombs on TikTok. This is huge for everybody. It bombs on TikTok, but it goes mega viral on YouTube Shorts, or it goes mega viral on Reels, but it doesn't do anything anywhere else. Like post on all three of the TikTok algorithms, or you know, the algorithms that are the minute long algorithms, I should say, Reels, Shorts, and TikTok. Because, and don't get discouraged if you post a YouTube Shorts and it doesn't do well, because it could take months. It's weird. YouTube is like the Roth IRA of content places, because I've had videos bomb like 5,000 views and then 6 months later jump up to 14 million. So post in all three places. And yeah, that's the other, basically the reason I brought that up is because like, it's just like videos will bomb and then I'll think about why, but then they go mega viral somewhere else. And I'm like, okay, well, I really don't know what it is then. Like, it's just maybe what TikTok wasn't feeling me that day. Maybe YouTube audience is a little more patient than TikTok. You know, it's all sorts of things.
Have you kind of been able to pinpoint anything that like what differentiates what will do well versus TikTok, like on TikTok versus YouTube? Like from my understanding, like I don't have a fully like the best grasp on it, but just from like the little bit of time I've spent, it's like the more authentic, quote unquote, like unprofessional with your camera stuff will do better on TikTok, but that won't perform as well on YouTube. Like for a YouTube short, the audience there still expects a little bit more polish than they do on TikTok.
For me, I've experienced my vlog stuff like, you know, we got this piano and did this, or, oh, I saved a chicken from a slaughterhouse, or what's the other one that did well? Like the Baron Ryan one is kind of vlog-esque, even though it's like fake and fabricated. I notice like that, for whatever reason, does better on YouTube. Oh, me and my friend produced a comedy show, bombed on TikTok, got 500K on YouTube Shorts. So I think like there's, for whatever reason, I'm just noticing that does better. And I get served a lot of educational stuff on YouTube Shorts, and I get a ton of Family Guy clips, but I don't know. My stuff does really well on YouTube. That's like vlog. It's weird.
What are some like key principles that anybody, regardless of content type, should be doing if they have any expectation of growing on social?
Look at your hook, because I've heard people say the other day, like, you got like 4 seconds to win them over. I'm like, wrong. You got like 1.5 seconds to win them over. So first few frames, first sentence that you're saying, and the TikTok text, look at that. Length of the video. I actually have success with like longer videos on TikTok sometimes, because it's almost like the competition there is a little less. Like if you're in the 15 second world, you might be competing with a dog that's like, you know, singing or something. Whereas in the 60 second realm, it's mostly you got to tell a story, and I'm pretty good at telling stories. So like, look at your time, get rid of shit you don't need, any dead air, any like, any of that. Like it's like writing an essay. Like if you were to script it out, like, and show it to a teacher, what's the shit they would like cross out and say you don't need? Talk directly to the audience. Sometimes that works, you know, like sometimes people post I had a podcast clip do well, but somebody pointed out to me, it's interesting because podcast clips are two people talking to each other, whereas TikTok a lot of the time is somebody talking to you. So, you know, try and make that work. Make sure your volume levels are good. Like I'll see people like post things and their music is way too loud. Like I don't even want to try watching this. Mainly be interesting. Like, is it interesting? Like that too. I know that's like easier said than done, but like people show me videos, I'm like, nobody wants to know about this like random like streamer that like, you know, has 10 views, but you think is cool because he does jumping jacks after every kill or something. I don't know. Even that actually is kind of funny. So I don't even know, but like, yeah, it's hard. It's hard not knowing, but those are some of the main things. And people, you can always email me if you want, and I'll try and give you advice on videos. SeanPatrickMillay@gmail.com.
And then who are some people you're seeing that are doing a really good job on TikTok?
Long Island Dirt is my friend, and I think she's doing great. Baron Ryan's killing it always. I actually don't watch TikTok much, but stand-up-wise, my friend John Kennedy, his name is John, is toasted. Jamie Wolf is a stand-up comedian that's crushing it. Mark Normand has been crushing it, which is cool because he's a great comedian, and it's cool to see more classic comedians like actually utilizing social media to their advantage, because some people are like, I don't get it. It's like, what do you mean you don't get it? Like, you've been writing jokes for 10 years. Like, you do get it. You just don't know how to learn how to put a video together. Like, so those are the people that I think are really cool. Like, a lot of the time, it just comes down to like watching TikTok for a few hours, learning what does well, and making a few on your own. Because, dude, like, I have friends that like will be like, dude, I just don't get it. Like, nothing's working. And I'll look at their TikTok and they post 5 videos ever total. And I'm like, I get annoyed. Like, I never get mad at anybody ever in my life. I never get mad, but I get annoyed because I'm like, dude, like you've posted 5 TikToks. Like, if you swung a bat at a baseball 5 times and you were like, I suck at baseball, I don't get it. You're like, dude, you didn't even try. You didn't put your hands in the clay at all. Like make some. That's what I would say for everybody. And then if it's not working, then you could say, okay, now I don't get it. And that'll happen. Like, then you could start to say, but if you've only posted 4 or 5 and you're like, oh, it's just not for me, or clearly I'm not good enough. It's like, dude, no, you just didn't. It took me like 10, you know, to figure it out, like 10 to 20 even, like, or it took me 10 to get one to do well. And then it took me 20 more to get another one to do well. So like, just put your hands in the clay. That's a big thing.
Do you think not watching a lot of TikTok is a benefit to you as a creator?
I could see that. Like, it's like I'm not being like influenced by everybody else. And like, I could see that. To me, I don't watch TikTok because actually, I don't know. It used to be like almost fear of missing out. Like, I was like, oh, I should be making TikToks, you know? And like I was just kind of like discouraged by watching it. But now I just, I could see that maybe. Yeah. It's like I'm like not doing what other people are doing. But at the, yeah, possibly. But at the same time, it does take watching it to know what works. Like, for me, though, like, do you see those videos where it's just long text and their face and it's something funny? Like, I've yet to try those, but like, in my experience, like jokes or like just styles like that are harder for me. Like, I'm good at, like, stories are what work for me.
And like, also, where is this all heading? What's the big picture goal, right? Because like, I often see those videos of people with text on screen with something funny and the videos crush, but then I'll click, they don't have that many followers compared to how many times I see them in my feed and how well their videos do. It's like, long term for their personal brand, like that, those videos aren't doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, people are laughing at the text, but they don't really, like, if you start talking, you're not going to be able to promote anything. You're not going to be able to like push people to YouTube if they're just used to reading a short thing from you. So like, where are you heading? Like, what's the long-term goal with everything?
I want to keep doing stand-up and maybe have my own show one day or something like that. I just like, I like people like Donald Glover and Bo Burnham that like can like do all these different arts and like get, like, it's just like, it's like a little playground. It's like, oh, I can make all this stuff. And so that's kind of what I want to do, I think.
You like, which I agree with a lot. Like, these are two people I admire, multifaceted creators who aren't just, you know, people who can do more. Like, I think Logic's really interesting as a creator. Like, he's a great rapper, but he's also dabbling in different types of music. He's also writing like a book, a screenplay. So I think like people like that, I'm naturally drawn to, who have found success with different creative fields.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, it's just like fun, you know? It's like, it's just, it's cool to do all different things. And it, you know, it's, what is it? Like, jack of all trades, master of none. Like, that's cool. It's fine to do that if it's fun. And that's what I hope for life. Because TikTok, it's fun, but it's, you know, being labeled a TikToker is not always, I mean, not that I care what people are labeling me, I guess, but it's not fulfilling making TikToks only, because like you said, like, shit goes viral and people forget it. And it's like, and which again, you know, not, it's, I'm not trying to say to think in terms of how people are looking at you, I guess, as much as I'm like, art is so much more than TikTok. And so I hope to be able to express cool ideas in other places.
Oh, 100%. Like, even on that note, I'm struggling with my TikToks right now, because to your point, like, and like, people always say TikToks are so easy to create because they're under a minute, which is great. But I don't have that fulfillment with the TikTok, because they just feel so throwaway to me. Like, I'm posting every single day right now, and it feels like I'm just throwing them out there. Like, I spent 3 months and I do like direct to camera sitting down, just like, I'll do some takeaways from like the podcast and things like that. And just like kind of content for other creators on TikTok, like just different tips and just thing, like just all direct to camera, like talking head stuff. But I'll like batch record them. I've been doing them on my good camera, and I'm gonna switch it up and try going on my phone to see if that changes anything. But yeah, I'll just like knock out, like, in 15 minutes I can record 15 TikToks, and then I just gotta edit them all and I post them. But I just don't care when I post them. I'm just like, oh fuck, I gotta post another TikTok, and I just throw it out there. But like, I spent 3 months on a documentary I made about David Dobrik. It's a full movie, it's like 90 minutes, and I love that piece because I spent so much time with it. Like, there was time there was intention, versus TikTok, I'm just like on the hamster wheel. I just got to get it out there and on to the next one.
But that's what I would like, treat it like documentary style for TikTok. Like, maybe, and like, for, if I were to, like, let's say, like, if I were to take something from this podcast, like today that we recorded, and make a TikTok, I'd be like, you know, this guy, and then it would be like a photo of me, did this, but like, let's see what he has to say about this, and here's my takeaway. Like, you gotta like make sure your hooks, I guess, would be, if I were to, like, without watching your TikToks, that's my guess. But my immediate guess, like, just keep it visually engaging, and I'd say like 15 to 30 seconds. And yeah, I'll watch. I'll have to watch and give you some advice.
Totally. Yeah. Definitely let me know. I think like, yeah, cause I'm doing some of the things. I think it's just like, it's just not fulfilling to do the things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think that's part of what I'm just trying to figure out.
Do you think it would be fulfilling if one of them got a million views, would you feel fulfilled?
Not really. Cause like I just hit 4,000 followers last night, and that's more followers than I've ever had on a social platform. But like, I've had videos pop off and do hundreds of like 100,000 views, 150,000, which is awesome. But like, I also have a podcast that has 850,000 views. Like the full, it was like a 2-hour interview that, and like, it was cool. And then, but to your point, like, that doesn't matter. Like, it's dope, but it doesn't, I'm still more fulfilled doing a podcast. So the numbers, I don't think getting a million views on a TikTok, I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. But like, I'd be on to the next TikTok already, because I can't just sit there and enjoy that 1 million views, because I got to get the next 15
what
second
is your
out.
What is your creative aspirations and dreams? Like, if you could do anything you wanted to?
I think for me, it's something similar to yours, where it's like to kind of have the freedom to create different types of art. I've never done stand-up. It's something that's appealing to me as an art form. I think it's interesting. But film is definitely like the biggest one for me. I don't know what it was, but I'd always wanted to write screenplays. But like, I didn't watch movies, so I don't know where that came from. Like, no one in my family wrote. I was just like this weird thing that I wanted to do for no reason. Yeah. So last year I was finally like, let me just give it a shot. Cause I did that David Dobrik doc, and I wrote like, it wasn't a script, but it was just like the outline of what I wanted to say. I was like, what if I wrote like a real movie script? And so I taught myself how to do it, and I wrote 4 features in under a year.
That's awesome. I don't think there's anything wrong with like, I mean, obviously, you know, like you got to learn from the greats or whatever, but at the same time, like, I think there's like something cool about people that want to do right and not really watch. Like, I feel like it's not always, like, I heard Chappelle say something like, he like stand up, he doesn't like watching other comedians because it's like watching somebody fuck his wife. It's like, I could do it better, which is like a crude, and I'm also like, fuck you, like, you're a douche. But at the same time, like, I get it. Like, I'm like, I enjoy making people laugh and getting up on stage. I don't always enjoy watching other. I have a lot of comedians I very much admire, but at the same time, like, I don't think it's like weird that that's how you feel. That's what I'm trying to say.
I've started watching movies more now that I've gotten into writing, just so I like can understand, you know what I mean? Like, just, but like, it hasn't influenced me a ton. It's kind of shown me what I enjoy and what I enjoy creating more. Like, what movies am I drawn to? Can I write something in that genre? You know what I mean? But that's kind of what I'm working. Plus the podcast, I love interviewing people. So I think that's just going to be a part of it forever. Whether it's this show or another show, but I think I enjoy I treat interviewing like an art form, if that makes sense. Like, to me, it's not just a conversation. Like, there's a lot of intentionality. Like, I've laid out everything we've talked about. I had already before we said, like, I'm very intentional with what we talk about before. And so it is like one of the creative outlets for me is the podcast or the interview.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool. At first I thought you said that you were uninspired by the pod. I was like, damn, like, don't do the pod.
No. No, that's cool. The pod is, it's just the TikTok. But
yeah, the TikTok, well, I think that's just a great way to leverage your pod. And so, you know, don't give up on it yet, you know? Like,
yeah, I think I'm going to try mixing it up, the toolkit, and like trying creating with the phone and seeing like, because part of it is like, oh, I got to sit down in Premiere and just edit, like do all the things to edit it. But I was like, maybe if I just try mixing it up, creating on the phone and just all on TikTok and see how that goes.
Also, 2 things I'd say is, so instead of a nice camera, you saw the video where I was like, I explained how I made the Tom Holland interview. Okay, so the original interview didn't even get that many views. It was like 300,000. But the video where I'm like, this is how I fooled everybody, that got 10 million views. So basically, my thought process is people, so a lot of times on TikTok especially, are more likely to watch it because I'm like talking right to them. Like, guys, look at this crazy thing I did. And then I show you all the stuff. So, which is almost counterintuitive to what I said before, but like, you could do that with your phone. I did this podcast and I thought this was really cool. You know, that might be a good hook for people because it's like on the phone, it's really personal. It feels like, you know, like your friend telling you something in person. You could try that. Providing a good hook about and context for what we're about to see. You know, this guy did this and I got to talk to him and I thought this thing he said was cool. Like, stuff like that, like, and quickly and with energy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like, because what I found with TikTok is like, why I'm not going to stop TikTok is like, I'm getting the most feedback I've ever gotten on TikTok. Like, I've had several like decent sized creators, somehow I stumble on their feed and like they either comment on the video. I've had people then go from TikTok to my Instagram to send me a message that they like my TikToks and here's some ideas how to make them better. And the through line is everyone keeps telling me like, it looks dope with the camera and the microphone and everything looks clean and crispy. But like for TikTok, just they're like, just use your phone. I think you'll grow quicker. And so I keep getting that. So I think that's part of the reason.
And the barrier of entry is a lot easier too. Like I like editing on Premiere because I do have a lot of like tricks I can do that I cannot do on my phone. But there's barriers of entry that like I still film everything on my phone. I do the voice memos. I could just AirDrop right to my computer because I have a nice ass camera. But like the thought of having to go get it, I'm going to do a YouTube live tomorrow. I think I'm going to use the nice camera, but dude, the thought of having to go get it out, set it up on a tripod, get my mic to work. Like, it's just like, by the time I get it all done, my mental energy has already been like depleted by more than I would have wanted. So there's like content classes in middle schools now where they teach them how to make videos with their phones. Like, that's something I never, like, it's anybody can make videos now.
For sure, which is a good thing. It also, it's a good and a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, net, like at the end of the day, that anyone can.
I mean, I wonder, like, you know, like if I was making videos in seventh grade, like, would I have, like, would I end up getting myself doxxed? Like, possibly. So I don't know. You know, there's like, I hope that's part of the curriculum, at least, is like helping them understand what they can put on the internet. But there's nothing wrong with giving to the kids the tools to create, I think. So as long as they're like, you know, being taught how to use them responsibly.
Man, there's so many other ways. Like, we could be here for another couple pods here. There's so many other things we could talk about. We haven't even touched on like how you got your job with 1:37 p.m. or anything. But one thing I will say that was interesting that I just want to call out here before we wrap up is I was looking at, so you did the short film, The Turtle in the Sink, and you put out a video before that trying to get funding. It was you kind of doing like a walk and talk style, like direct to camera, like trying to raise funding. And I thought what was interesting is on that video, someone tagged Gary on that video.
Oh, really?
And then all these, I think it was like over a year later, you ended up actually working for Gary. And I think that was a cool thing I wanted to mention that I noticed when I was prepping that, like,
that's cool.
That was something that happened. But again, we could talk about the short film. We could talk more about stand up. We could talk about your job, but so maybe I'll have to get you back on here at some point. I want to be respectful of your time.
No, it's cool. I do have somebody coming over to actually help them edit a TikTok, but I'm definitely down to come back on.
100%, man. We'll have to set it up. But I'll jump to my last question then that I ask everybody at the end of every interview. And I like to flip the script a little bit with this last question. So instead of me asking it, it's you asking it, but it's not to me. So pretend you have a crystal ball and you can ask this crystal ball any question. You'll get the 100% honest answer. What is one question you want to know the answer to?
That's tough. It's like, I want, you know, my instinct is to be like, oh, is there a God, or are we going to, you know, reincarnate? We all share the same soul. But I'm like, at the same time, maybe we're not supposed to know that, because, or else we'd know it. That's a great question. I don't want to go the superficial, materialistic route, but I might just say, maybe lottery ticket numbers. No, because I don't want to, like, I could get myself rich, right? But then, like, that's a sad life too, to just have everything you ever wanted. That's a tough question. I would ask the crystal ball, what's the best possible question I could ask you? No, then I guess then I only get one. Then they're going to say, you should ask this. And then I'm going to say, well, no, now I can't ask it. Crap. Something like, are humans... Let me ask you this. What's the best answer you've gotten for this question?
That's tough to answer. I also have a terrible memory as well, so that doesn't help. But the most common one is like, what happens when we die? That'll happen. I had someone ask me how the TikTok algorithm actually works. I've had someone ask if their dog thinks they're funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other ones. But it's sometimes people take it super personal, like something that they wish they knew and they were like, that they didn't do. Like, what happens if I did that? Like, that comes up somewhat frequently where they go the personal route with it. But it's a big question. I always kind of hit people kind of at a left field with this one. But it's my favorite question.
I would ask something like, are humans meant to be monogamous or something? Like, so I know that's a weird one, but like, I always wonder that. I'm like, oh, cause I want to, like, you know, I'm single and I'm like, look, I look forward to love or whatever. But sometimes I wonder, I'm like, are people meant to be together forever? And I'm like, I'm not sure. And if I knew that we were supposed to, I mean, who's to say if you're supposed to or not? We're all different, but maybe something like that. Or, you know,
that's
that song,
question.
You know, that song, you're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You don't know.
That song? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Nobody knows who that song's about. Maybe I'd ask that.
There you go. I love it, man. But I want to thank you for taking time to come on the podcast. I want to give you the floor. And I know we've kind of talked throughout, but like, where can the people find you? Plug anything and everything you got right now.
They could find me on Instagram, Sean Millay, SEANMILLEA. Actually, that's the same across all my channels, except TikTok has an underscore. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Awesome, man. I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so people can find it. And I want to thank you once again for taking time to come on the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening, whether you've listened the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces. I really appreciate you for taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and follow Sean. Like I said, I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.